Lights on. Philippians chapter 4, verse 5. Appreciated your prayer, Sanjay. Philippians 4, 5. This verse will be the anchor of this morning's message. My goal is to hit you right between the eyes, that everybody walk out of here like with this verse, like stuck with a barb on it. Let's read it together. Philippians 4, verse 5. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Is it sticking? Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Been in the same job now for 8 years. My boss and I have an understanding. I do my work and I let him do his. I'm still working part-time as a senior citizen, in part because it gives me an opportunity to interact with my Hindu co-workers. Some of them are nominal Hindus. Some are quite zealous. When a woman will go to India and have her head shaved all the way down, that's an expression of a zeal, wouldn't you say? I try to be a testimony to everyone I work with. Recently, we were under pressure to go to production, and we had an agreed-upon plan to get there. And being a part-time employee, I took a day off, and when I came back, things had gone a different direction. And a coworker had worked an all-nighter going in a direction that I felt was wrong and setting us up for failure. So we had a meeting, and she was explaining what she had done, and I was, in a sense, explaining that it wasn't going to work. And I pushed, and she entrenched. And as I was highlighting the demerits of this approach, just crushing it, pressing it down, I realized, in retrospect, I was crushing her. And it took a coworker to kind of blow the fictitious whistle and call a truce. And as soon as that happened, the Spirit of God convicted me. You weren't very gentle, were you? You weren't very considerate, were you? You know, the biblical definition of gentleness implies being moderate, being reasonable, being gracious, being willing to yield. If I was going to title this message, it would be, "Let your gentle spirit, yours, be known." I just have 2 points and a bonus, if we have time. When was Jesus gentle? Point one. How did he make it known? Good to know. We're going to model our lives after his. Which leads to my second point, the point of application. How can we make our gentle spirit known, as Philippians 4:5 exhorts us. And then, if we get to the bonus, I'll try to pick up the pace, because the Lord is near, we're to make our gentleness known. Jesus had a lot to say about gentleness. Started with a very famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. He said, "Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth." I mean, that's a countercultural statement right there. Just like many things that he said that day. Some translations would say, "Blessed are the meek, blessed are the humble, blessed are the lowly, for they will inherit the earth." What? How's that work? You know, meekness, I like the definition, it's strength under control. Are you meek? You know, I had a strong argument that day at work, but was I under control? Or was I trying to prove I was right and vindicate myself? I think we know a day will come when the gentle do inherit the earth, when we reign alongside our Savior, the one who was gentle and humble in heart. And history would tell us brutes, they don't inherit the earth. You know, the autocratic, self-serving bullies, they get their way for a season. But often in the end, their reign, the end of their reign is celebrated. You know, for history buffs, think Stalin or Ceausescu or Gaddafi or Marcos. Brutes. Far from gentle. You know, big, hot-tempered people can throw their weight around. But their authority only extends to those within reach. People quickly learn to avoid them and to work around them. I'd suggest a gentle person's impact goes much deeper. A brute can touch your body, but gentleness can touch a heart and a soul. You know, thinking of Charlie's sermon last week, he reminded us that Paul said the love of Christ controlled him. It had a grip on him. God's relentless love for us, as we were singing, it won us over. So now we obey, not out of fear, but out of faith, trust, love. Biblical gentleness includes a willingness to yield. Not part of our culture, is it? Yield to the sensitivities of others. And I even wrote to their proclivities. What's a proclivity? It's when someone has a natural tendency towards something, often something bad. Yield to that. Respond to that in gentleness. Jesus would continue his sermon. You've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, don't resist an evil person. Whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other to him also. If someone wants to sue you and take your shirt, let him have your coat also. Yield. Whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with them too. Give to him who asks of you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. For you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And then this, so that you may be sons of your Father. So that you may be sons of your Father. You want to reflect Him? Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. For God causes His Son to rise on the evil and the good. And the rain falls on the righteous and the unrighteous. Gentleness, meekness, strength under control. Turn another cheek. You want my coat? Take my shirt too. You know, what Jesus would preach that day, He's going to model. And we're going to look at that. That's my first point. How did Jesus display or model gentleness? Isaiah prophesies of Jesus. He will not cry out or raise His voice, nor make His voice heard in the street. A bruised reed He will not break. A dimly burning wick He will not extinguish. Jesus was gentle with the bruised reeds, those broken, hurting people. He sustained those dimly burning wicks, those who are despairing. He didn't raise His voice. He didn't flush them from His life. But His gentle, relentless pursuit, like a shepherd searching for that one lost sheep on the mountains, He would go and go and go till He finds it. And when finding it, chasten it or celebrate it. What was lost is found. We're to be like sons of our Father, and Jesus was the Son of His Father, who would embrace a prodigal when they come home. We don't think lightly of the riches of the kindness, tolerance, and patience of our God. For indeed, kindness leads us to repentance. And those character traits, those expressions of Christ-likeness relate to gentleness. Kindness, tolerance, patience. Zechariah would prophesy, behold, your king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey, even a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. King coming on a donkey? What king's like that? Know any king like that? Or do they fly in jets, private jets? Jesus was a man of the people, approachable. Needy masses were drawn to Him. One day, some people thought, He's so gentle. Let's bring our kids to Him for a blessing. Let's bring our kids. It's recorded in Mark 10. And they were bringing children to Jesus so that He might touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw this, He was indignant, and He said to them, permit the children to come to Me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom like a child will not enter it at all. And He, the Creator of the world, took them in His arms and began blessing them. laying his hands on them. Picture that in your mind. Gentle, accepting, loving. When the disciples tried to tell these people, don't bring the kids. I mean, he's got more important things. Our text says he became indignant. You know what that means? A strong anger over something that's not just. This isn't right, what you're saying or doing. You know, the Greek word translated indignant here is not very often used in the gospel, in the scripture, and it's only used in the gospels. The synagogue official became indignant because Jesus healed on the Sabbath. The 10 apostles became indignant when James and John wanted to sit on Jesus' right and left. The chief priests and the scribes became indignant when the children cried out, Hosanna, son of David, as he made his way into Jerusalem. And here we have Jesus indignant, justly angry. But how does he express it? Permit the children to come. Don't hinder them. Meekness. Strength under control. You know, if you study the gentleness of Jesus, it's going to affect the way you do your evangelism. It's going to affect the way you shepherd. Evangelists need to speak the truth without compromise. Mankind needs to be reconciled to God. We don't compromise on our message. But we speak the truth in love. I've studied for years the dialogue between Jesus and the woman at the well. How do you move someone from the state she was in, meeting a complete stranger who's from a different caste, in a sense, and get her to bare her heart, confess her sin, turn from things she had trusted in to truth in 10 minutes. How? I would have loved if that would have been recorded on an iPhone like this, where I could have just looked at the facial expressions, heard, which we don't have in the text, just the tenderness in those words. Drawing somebody who's clearly in need. He doesn't compromise there. Go call your husband. Oh, I have 5 husbands. Like, yeah, you said right. Now we're getting somewhere, right? It will affect your shepherding. How many big changes did Jesus inspire in his disciples with just the question, who do you say that I am? Who am I to you? What were you talking about? What were you discussing on the way? Why are you afraid? Do you believe I'm able to do this? You know, a question is often a way, in a less threatening way, to cause somebody to respond. I asked myself Someone who wants to know the heart and mind of Jesus. What is in the heart of Jesus? Like, what is its composition? Now, maybe this is the engineer in me. Years ago, I had a friend. I miss him dearly. The only person I ever knew who fought in World War I. I mean, if he was alive today, it'd be like 130. But I used to give him rides home from the breaking of bread from Hillview back in the day, 40 years ago, Rick, when we broke bread in the evening. His name was Mr. Camiscioli. He had immigrated here from Italy. He used to say to me, after he would whack my rearview mirror with his hand, you know, he was Italian, I'd put it back and bam. But he goes, if you split my heart, what would you see inside? And I knew what to say. He'd ask me this often. Jesus. If you split my heart, what would you see inside? If you split Jesus' heart, what would you see inside? What's its composition? You know, I was thinking of how I just valued this man. I thought, I really value older people. If you split my heart, you'd see one section, I don't know what percentage, love for the elderly. You'd probably see another section, love for kiddos. I mean, they're way cool. And then I thought, which one do I love more? I thought, I can't answer that. It'd be like asking me, what do you value more, your right eye or your left? I mean, how do you answer that? Perhaps equal amounts. Well, let's look. Matthew 11. You know this text. Here's the heart of Jesus. He talks about his own heart in Matthew 11. He says, come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. What an invitation. What an invitation. Who's going to take him up on it? If you hesitate, he'll give you a reason not to. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. We're together here, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. He is gentle and humble in heart. His yoke is easy and his burden's light. We believe it because he expresses it through gentleness and humility. You know, to be gentle, you can't take a class on that. 10 steps to becoming a more gentle person. It comes from the heart. You know, we have the text, that which fills the heart, the mouth speaks. Not to add to Scripture, I would add, that which fills the heart moves the feet. If you're not gentle in heart, you're not going to be gentle in action. I'd suggest we need to spend long hours with Jesus. Take him up on his invitation. Be yoked with me. Learn from me, he says. I'm gentle and humble in heart. He'll change your heart. You know, I hope you have the faith to surrender your heart to Jesus to be changed? You know, we have some pretty high callings from God on us, like love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And if we do, that won't be hard. It's kind of like what Charlie said last week. It's like a man driving to see the woman he loves. Not bothered. Loving God's easy. But the heart, soul, mind, renewed and in the right place. You know, I have a new computer. I'll thank my wife for that. It was a combo Christmas birthday present because it was $500. It's a Mac Mini with an M4 processor. I'm still startled by how powerful it is. I mean, this sermon, it will take the recording, the MP3, and turn it into a transcription in 2 minutes. My 2017 Mac laptop take 30 minutes. 15 times faster. How can it be so fast? How can it perform so well? It's got a new heart. It's got a new heart. They call that the CPU. It has 10 cores. CPU central. It's got a GPU with 10 cores. GPU stands for processing unit. CPU, central processing unit. Here, I'm going to get you all geeked out here. GPU, graphics processing unit. 10 cores. And a whopping 16 cores in the NPU, the neural processing unit. You know, without a new heart, you're not going to be gentle. You're not going to yield. You won't turn the other cheek. The old man doesn't do any of that. You're not going to have that strength under control. Paul was extraordinarily gifted. And he had the authority of an apostle. Power, influence, and gentle. He says to the Thessalonians, get this, catch this. We prove to be gentle among you. And of all the analogies he'll pick, we prove to be gentle among you as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. Having so fond an affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but our own lives, because you'd become very dear to us. You know, that takes a manly man to draw an analogy between himself and a nursing woman. But that's what the Spirit of God prompted. And all of us who are parents have witnessed that. That special relationship mom and a newborn have, a helpless infant in the hands of his mother or her mother. The Corinthians caused Paul a lot of headaches. I mean, those of us who are elders, we read Corinthians and go, yeah, we understand this. Been down that road a few times. You know, but when you would think, it's like, can you put your throat between these hands? I mean, sometimes it gets hard. He says to the Corinthians, when I'm face to face with you, I'm meek. Yeah, I might write bold, but when I'm with you, I'm gentle. He exhorts them, he says, by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Paul knew something of the meekness and gentleness of Christ. I had to ask myself, like, you know, I know he only met Christ once on a Damascus road. Is that what he's referring to? The meekness and gentleness of Christ there? You know the account, road to Damascus, bright light, brighter than the sun, it says, a corrective question, followed by a temporary blindness. You know, it could have gone pretty differently, right? If Jesus wasn't gentle with those who would persecute his church. Paul says, I was shown mercy with gentleness because I was acting ignorant. You know, I find it absolutely striking. Strength under control when Jesus is before Pilate. Matthew 27, we read, and while he was being accused by the chief priests and the elders, he didn't answer. Then Pilate said to him, do you not hear how many things they testify against you? And he didn't answer him with regard to even a single charge. That's a high bar, don't you say? So the governor, Pilate, a man who was probably regularly issued execution warrants for all kinds of people, this was a unique experience for him. All these accusations, no defense, not even a single charge. It says he was quite amazed. Are you starting to believe that biblical gentleness, a willingness to forbear, to yield, can have an impact? That it can go deep? You know, Pilate, I would guess, like most Romans in authority, got to where he was, climbing on the backs of the competition. To meet someone like this, John 19, when Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and a purple robe, Pilate said to them, behold the man. So when the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out saying, crucify, crucify. Pilate said to them, take him yourself and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him. Vindicated through gentleness and meekness? The Jews answered him, we have a law, and by that law he ought to die, because he made himself out to be the Son of God. Therefore, when Pilate heard this statement, he was more afraid, and he entered into the praetorium again and said to Jesus, where are you from? And Jesus gave no answer. So Pilate said to him, do you not speak to me? Do you not know that I have the authority to release you and I have the authority to crucify you? Jesus answered, you would have no authority over me unless it had been given you from above. For this reason, he who delivered me to you has the greater sin. As a result, Pilate made efforts to release him. It works. Proverbs teaches us a gentle answer turns away wrath. Pilate wanted to turn the wrath of the enemies of Jesus away, but being a coward failed to. Jesus, when was he gentle? Gentle with the lost. A woman at the well. Gentle with his disciples. Gentle before Pilate, even on the doorstep of execution. So point two, how can we make our gentleness known? Let me start with gentleness is a fruit of the Spirit. If you go out of here thinking, I got to dig deep, got to be more gentle. The first person that cuts you off, we'll see what happens. It's got to be a fruit of the Spirit. It's a supernatural thing. The old man is not gentle. Understand that. Have you ever been around toddlers playing? Are they always gentle? My granddaughter's dog, if he could talk, would probably say, can you send Aria to gentleness school? I mean, she doesn't have a tail, but I do. It's the new man who can be gentle, not the old man. We know the old man well. I'm looking forward to when we get to the book of Colossians, because there in Colossians 3, there's a lot of teaching on putting aside the old man and putting on the new man. We are to put aside the things that are like contrary to gentleness, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech. Those don't come forth from gentleness. And then I love in chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, so as those who've been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone. Just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. You know, I want to develop how Paul begins that second set, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. He says, you've been chosen of God, and you're holy and beloved. I know there's some here who didn't grow up in good soil. It was a harsh environment. You learned early, this is a dog-eat-dog world. And even in the refuge of your own home, it was like survival of the fittest. And it goes deep. You're guarded. You look over your shoulder. You're wondering about everybody. What's their angle? Second-guessing everyone's motives. And it makes it hard to be gentle, vulnerable, to yield, to forbear. The remedy is here. Meditate on being chosen to be holy and beloved by God, set apart for Him. Soak in being complete in Christ, and that hard leather will soften. I've seen it. I've seen it in people who come into the church with a fist ready and walk away after years of regeneration like skipping little lambs ready to play. Trust Him. He can do it. It's a fruit of the Spirit. We are to make our gentleness known to all men, those in Christ, in the church, and those outside of Christ. For those outside of Christ, Paul instructed both Timothy and Titus. He says to Timothy, the Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to all, able to teach, patient when wrong, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive to do his will. You know, recently I read the account of the founder of Wikipedia, Larry Sanger, has come to Christ. Decades as a skeptic. He says, quote, "The new atheism to me," he wasn't an atheist, but he heard their arguments. "The new atheism became, if anything, to me even more obnoxious, to the point where I was asking if I had ever been like that. I had too much respect for Christian family and friends. Similarly," and this is what I want to drive home, "I observed Christians on social media often behaving with maturity and grace, while their critics often acted like obnoxious trolls." Maturity and grace worked on a skeptic. You're not going to get your bonus. Maybe I'll close with something I was thinking of. I wonder if anybody has ever responded to someone in road rage with gentleness. I looked it up, and the video starts with a woman on the hood of the car screaming, "I'm going to kill you," to the person in the car. And she breaks off the wiper blade, and she proceeds to slam the windshield till it cracks. And passerbys, realizing this woman was out of control and that she had actually cut off the person who she was so angry at, and the person honked, that was it. That was the trigger for the road rage. "You honked at me because I cut you off. I'm going to be on the hood of your car saying I'm going to kill you and try to crack through the windshield with your own wiper." I mean, wow. And the woman in the car just sat there. And a bystander or someone driving by stopped and realized this woman is out of control. I should probably take the keys out of her car so she doesn't drive off and who knows, terrorize the world. But what really struck me, and I guess it struck those who do media to the point, was the reserve of the person taking the abuse. And they interviewed her and she said, "My car can be fixed. I'm just glad everyone is safe." And then this, "Everybody in the world deserves a little grace and patience nowadays. And I hope I showed her enough that it actually get her the help that she needs." Wow. Let's pray. Father, I think it was a former president who said we need a kinder and gentler world. Lord, we certainly do. I pray, Lord, that each of us here who've heard this message and heard from your Spirit would realize the Spirit in us, one of the fruits he would form in us is gentleness and self-control. Lord, may we live our calling be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. It so needs light. Pray we'd be like Jesus, the one we love and serve. Amen.